Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I have a very important message for you this morning. A very serious message. It's a message on eternal life or eternal death. In Acts chapter 12, this is where our text will be this morning, we're going to see two men. And we're going to see God move on these two men. And one man, the work of God is unto life. And in the other man, the work of God or the hand of God is unto death. What I want us to see is, what makes the difference? Eternal life or eternal death? What makes the difference? I want to read a few verses of Scripture so we can understand this story. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." So Herod has imprisoned Peter, and he has stationed 16 soldiers to guard him, four quaternions. Verse 5 says, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, 'Arise up quickly,' and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, 'Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals.' And so he did. And he saith unto him, 'Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me.' And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through the street, and forthwith the angel departed from him." So Peter was laying there between two soldiers. He was bound with two chains. And God sent his angel in, his messenger in, and he set him free. The chains were loosed, and he said, "You follow me." He shined a light in the prison, it says. And he led Peter out, and the doors opened on their own, and they went out. Verse 11 says, "And when Peter was come to himself, he said, 'Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews.' And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, 'Thou art mad.' But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, 'It is his angel.' But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, 'Go show these things unto James and to the brethren.' And he departed and went into another place." Now, in this story, we see God delivering his own. He delivered Peter from prison physically. And what that represents is our God going into the prison of the heart, the sinful prison of the heart, and leading his own child to freedom, setting his child free. He shines the light of Christ in there. He shows the prisoner of sin that Christ is all. Salvation is totally in Christ. It's all about Christ. And then he smites that sinner. Just like that angel smote Peter and woke him up. He smites that sinner over his sin. But then in the gospel, through the grace of the gospel of Christ, in everything Christ has done, he raises that sinner up and he says, follow me. This is how our Lord leads captivity captive. How God takes his child out of the clutches of the adversary. That's who Herod is, the adversary. And he sets him free by making him a servant of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Free. Free. If we have been made servants of Christ our King, then we are free men and women. We're free. Every sinner who is a chosen child of God goes through this miraculous deliverance. Every single one. Now, verse 18 says, As soon as it was day, the long night is past. The morning breaks at last. Day. Verse 18, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? Those two soldiers that were inside the cell with Peter, holding him on both sides. They represent God's law and God's justice. That's what's guarding a sinner on both sides. God's law. That's why sinners are bound. They're bound because of the law, which convicts them of their sin. And God's justice, what's waiting on them in his judgment, the penalty for breaking that law. Those two soldiers both started saying, where is our sinner? There was no small stir. They went looking for him. They went looking for him. Where is the transgressor? And that's what happens to every child of God spiritually when God sets him free. I want to show you one of the most precious verses of Scripture you'll ever read. Turn with me over to Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah 50 verse 20 says, in those days, and at that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel, the sin of Israel, shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Pardon means set free. I'll set them free. Whom I reserve. That means choose. The word means a remnant. Those soldiers who were inside the cell with Peter, they started looking for him. And they couldn't find him. No transgressor. Why? Christ pardoned him. That's why. Christ set him free. How does Christ set a sinner free? He did it in his own blood. He bore the sin of the sinner in his own body. And he died. He shed his own blood to pay for that sin. And now it's gone. It's gone. Back in our text, those soldiers weren't the only ones looking for Peter. Acts chapter 12, verse 19 says, "And when Herod had sought for him and found him not," the adversary himself, he went looking. He knows when a child of God has been freed from his clutches. He knows. He went looking for Peter, but he couldn't find him. Why not? David said, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me." He's going to hide me in his pavilion. "In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Isn't that wonderful? That pavilion is Christ. That secret place is Christ. That rock is Christ. It's all Christ. God delivers his child, and then he hides him in Christ. And that child is safe. Safe and secure from all alarms. Safe. Look at Psalm 91 with me. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." Is that not wonderful? There's an old song that says, "Under his wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are over. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in the Lord Jesus, I'm safe forevermore. Under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever." Herod sought for Peter, but he couldn't find him. Couldn't find him. He was hiding. Hiding. Christ hid him. Christ hid him. Back in Acts chapter 12, verse 18 says, "Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode." All 16 of those men were put to death. And that's the only end for our adversary and his army. Death. Death. It's also the end of the penalty of the law. It's the end. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ." Dead to the law by the body of Christ. If you know the truth, Christ said, "I am the truth." If you know the truth will make you free. He will make you free. Now, that's God's work to Peter. That's God's hand to Peter. There's a contrast to this story. At the end of this chapter here, Herod represents our adversary. but he also represents every man and woman who is outside of Jesus Christ. Peter was in Christ, hiding in thee. He was in Christ. He was delivered by Christ, through Christ. He was in Christ. But every man and woman who is outside of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, Acts chapter 12 says, "And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost." He was arrayed in his own royal apparel, the pride of man. He wasn't in Christ. He was in his own pride, thinking himself something when he's nothing. Nothing. Now, I want us to really take note of something. I want us to really see this. The Lord sent an angel to Peter. The Lord sent an angel to Herod. The Lord smote Peter. The Lord smote Herod. Through that smiting, God delivered Peter. Through that smiting, God killed Herod. Now, what makes the difference? What makes the difference? The same word that smites the child of God smites the enemy of God. The same word that breaks the child of God breaks the enemy of God. The same word that is a savor of life unto life to the child of God, that same word is a savor of death unto death to the enemy of God. The same word. The same word. There are men all over the place preaching what they believe is the word. One man can stand up and preach what he believes is the word of God, and it can be to his damnation and the damnation of all who hear him. Another man can stand up and preach what he believes with all of his heart is the word of God, and it can be unto his eternal life and the eternal life of all who hear him, truly hear him. What makes the difference? What makes the difference? All these churches, all these preachers, some are preaching life. Some are preaching death. And we need to know the answer to this, because this is serious. What makes the difference? Here's the answer. Who is getting the glory? That's the answer. The next time you hear a man stand up and preach, the next time you hear a man preach on this radio station, start it right now. You start it with this man right here, right now. The Word of God says, try the spirits whether they are of God. Every time you hear a man stand up behind a pulpit and preach, ask yourself this question. Who is getting the glory? There is such a defined line between the truth and a lie. And that defined line is this. Who is getting the glory? If Christ gets all the glory, it's the truth. If man gets any of the glory, it's a lie. Peter, we read it. Peter beckoned with his hand. They were all making over Peter, and he beckoned with his hand, and he said, "The Lord hath brought me out of prison." Herod stood up in his own garments, and he gladly took the glory for himself. They said, "That's the voice of a God." Now, I heard a man preach from this text not long ago, and it did not take very long for me to realize that this man has no idea what the gospel is. This man was not a true God-sent preacher. He had no idea who God really is. He definitely had no idea who man and what man really is. And he had no idea what Christ has done, what Christ has accomplished. From this text, here was the point of his sermon. This is what he was trying to get across. Here was his question. Are we glorifying God with our lives? That was his sermon. Are we glorifying God with our lives? I'll tell you this. A man who believes that he is a man who's about to be eaten by worms. And I say this with sadness. I don't say this with anger. I don't. I don't say this with anger. I say this with absolute sadness. What an ignorant question. What an ignorant of the Word of God question. I promise you, the answer is no. Are we glorifying God with our lives? No. Look at us. Look at our flesh. Don't you think we ought to be honest? We're going to go meet God. Don't you believe it's time to be honest? Here's a man who's telling the truth. Listen to this quote. Here's an old, old preacher. A true God-sent preacher. This is what he said. I cannot pray, but I sin. I cannot hear or preach a sermon, but I sin. I cannot give an alms or receive the sacrament, but I sin. Nay, I cannot so much as confess my sins, but my very confessions are still aggravations of them. My repentance needs to be repented of. My tears need washing, and the very washing of my tears needs still to be washed over again with the blood of my Redeemer. That man's telling the truth. That's a man right there who's telling us the truth. You know how I know that? He's giving all the glory to God. All of it. How can we give all the glory to God? This verse of Scripture tells us that we must give all the glory to God. So how do we do that? Here's how. By praising God for stripping the glory from us. That's how. Our Lord said, "Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me." A person hears that and says, "Okay, well then that's just what I'm going to do. I tell you what I'll do. I'm going to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow me. That's what I'm going to do." Well, if that's the case, then you're not going to give God the glory, are you? He said, "Deny yourself." I can't deny myself. My flesh cannot deny itself. You try to deny your flesh. Try to. Old people can refrain from a couple of things. They can refrain from eating a couple of things, drinking a couple of things, saying a couple of things. But you try to deny your flesh in the mind. You try to deny your flesh in the heart. My flesh feeds on myself. It thrives by indulging itself in my own sin, my own self. If I could deny myself, I would, but I just can't. Lord, if you don't cause me to deny myself, I never will. You must do it. He said, take up your cross. I can't. I'm dead. I have no ability in me. Men say things like, God has no hands but your hands. That is not true. The truth is, I have no hands but God's hands. Lord, if you don't take up my cross, it will never be taken up. Lord, I'm looking to you. I'm waiting on you. I'm trusting in you. Otherwise, I'm going to be eaten by worms. He said, follow me. I can't. Lord, I will never come to you if you don't draw me. I'm dead. I'm blind. I'm deaf. I'm dumb. I'm lame. And you are my only hope. You're my only hope. Do we who truly believe God's word and truly worship Him, do we have any problem with the fact that God has stripped us of all the glory and given it all to Jesus Christ? Not at all. We praise God for that, don't we? The song says, we praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for the Lord Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Who gets the glory in salvation? Christ does. I am what I am by the grace of God. Who gets the glory in faith? Christ does. He gives it. It's His faith. I believe what I believe by the grace of God. Who gets the glory in giving God the glory? Christ does. I wouldn't give it if He didn't make me. I preach what I preach by the grace of God. Christ gets it all. Christ gets it all. And watch this, how this chapter ends. Verse 23 says, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Do you know what a believer's greatest desire is? It's that the word of God would grow and multiply. Grow and multiply in my own heart. Grow and multiply in the city where it's preached. Lord, be merciful. Be merciful. When they had fulfilled their ministry, I pray that if the Lord allows me to continue in His ministry, it might be said that the Word of God grew and multiplied. Not just the people. We do want God to call out sheep, but we want Christ and His Word to receive all the glory, to grow and to multiply. If He would be so kind and so willing to open our eyes to this truth and bless it to our hearts, make it grow, we would give Him all the glory for it. Until next Sunday, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message, or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.